Jerry Bader Show, 10:36. I'm trying desperately not to get bogged down in catching up on TV, but there are a lot of shows. Jason's been trying to get me into Scandal. I watched part of season one. I enjoy it. There are just so many things. The Following is too dark for me. It's just, I'm having a hard time with that one. Orange is the New Black. Season two is out. I watched. I watched the first episode. Really? Arsenio was canceled 3 months after getting renewed? I was surprised that he tried another late night show. I was really surprised. Because it's just, I've been wanting summer so long, I'm not going to spend it inside watching TV. So the only thing I'm really watching now is the rebirth of 24, which I think has gotten very, very good. And I've told you again, if you like the old 24, you'll like it. Oh, I missed last month when they canceled The Crazy Ones. No shocker there. Robin Williams series just didn't work at all. Okay. I want to get into something here. Stop it, Jason. Just stop it. Jason's freaking out. This news is a month old. You didn't know these series were canceled? He's freaking out at all what shows you like. Revolution was canceled, huh? Believe was canceled. Dracula, not surprised. Hannibal was renewed, huh? I never even looked at this. Yeah, Almost Human. Almost Human just did not work for me. My wife got into it. Yeah, just didn't work. Never saw Mind Games, Christian Slater. Wow, all the TV shows out there that I barely even know about. Anyway, enough of that. In the midst of the gay marriage debate, there's a secondary debate where conservatives are often called cavemen, troglodytes. That is, and I have been accused of this, that we don't understand, we don't get that transgender is a real issue, that you actually can be born in the wrong body, and not that it's a psychological disorder. That you are living in caveman times. If you think it's a mental disorder, you have to understand that, yeah, you can really be born in the wrong body. Paul McHugh addresses this today in a piece in the Wall Street Journal. Who is Paul McHugh, you might ask? Go ahead and ask. Go ahead. Who's Paul McHugh? Glad you asked. Dr. McHugh is a former psychiatrist-in-chief at Johns Hopkins. Yeah, who the hell is he, Jason says. What would he know from transgender? What would he know from mental disorder? Let's find out, shall we? Because remember, we are to bow down to science. And this is a man of science. Now, he's just a man and he could be wrong, but never mind that, because he's a man of science. He's a high priest of science, and we know how libs feel about high priests of science. When a high priest of science speaks, that's the way it is. When a high priest of science tells you that global warming is real, by God, you're right, Jason. You hang on their every word and you believe it. When the high priest of science says there is no God, then there is no God. So when a high priest of science says this about transgender, In fact, the headline on the opinion piece, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it goes pretty deep, but enough to give you an idea here. Transgender surgery isn't the solution. A drastic physical change doesn't address underlying psychosocial troubles. This was posted. Now, I want you to do a little something here, Jason. We're going to do our own little science experiment. This was posted at 6:19 p.m. Central last night. Okay? So that's what, 12 and 4, about 16 hours ago, give or take. I want you to Google Paul McHugh, and I want to see the vicious things already being said about him. Let's see if anything is. M-C-H-U-G-H. Yeah, just go with this. And let's see. That's just the Wall Street Journal piece. I wonder if maybe if you try the social media, I am sure he is getting hammered already. And I'll read some of this and then you'll see why. The Government and Media Alliance Advancing the Transgender Cause has gone into overdrive in recent weeks. On May 30th, a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services review board ruled that Medicare can pay for the reassignment surgery sought by the transgendered, those who say that they don't identify with their biological sex. Earlier last month, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said that he was open to lifting a ban on transgender individuals serving in the military. Time magazine, seeing the trend, ran a cover story for its June 9 issue called The Transgender Tipping Point, America's Next Civil Rights Frontier. Yes, now that they've conquered gay marriage, transgender is next. Yet, he writes, policymakers in the media are doing no favors either to the public or the transgendered by treating their confusions as a right in need of defending rather than as a mental disorder that deserves understanding, treatment, and prevention. This intensely felt sense of being transgendered constitutes a mental disorder in two respects. The first is the idea of sex misalignment is simply mistaken. It does not correspond with physical reality. The second is that it can lead to grim psychological outcomes. Grim psychological outcomes. The transgender suffer a disorder of assumption. Now listen carefully to what he compares this to here. The transgendered suffer a disorder of assumption, like those in other disorders familiar to psychiatrists. With the transgender, the disordered assumption is that the individual differs from what seems given in nature, namely one's maleness or femaleness. Other kinds of disordered assumptions are held by those who suffer from anorexia and bulimia nervosa, where the assumption that departs from physical reality is the belief that they are by the dangerously thin that they are overweight. Oh, Jason found them. All right. What did I tell you? Leave that up there. We'll be getting to that. The transgender With body dysmorphic disorder, an often socially crippling condition, the individual is consumed by the assumption, I'm ugly. These disorders occur in subjects who have come to believe that some of their psychosocial conflicts or problems will be resolved if they can change the way that they appear by others. Such ideas work like ruling passions in their subjects' minds and tend to be accompanied by solipsistic argument. For the transgendered, this argument holds that one's feeling of gender is a conscious, subjective sense that being in one's mind cannot be questioned by others. The individual often seeks not just society's tolerance of this personal truth, but affirmation of it. Here rests the support for transgender equality, the demands for government payment for medical and surgical treatments, and for access to all sex-based public rules and privileges. With this argument, advocates for the transgendered have persuaded several states to pass laws barring psychiatrists, even with parental permission, from striving to restore natural gender feelings to transgender minors. The government can intrude into parents' rights to seek help in guiding their children, indicates how powerful these advocates have become. We at Johns Hopkins, which in the 1960s was the first American medical center to venture into sex reassignment surgery, launched a study in the 70s comparing the outcomes of transgendered people who had surgery with the outcomes of those who did not. Most of the surgically treated patients described themselves as satisfied by the results, but their subsequent psychosocial adjustments were no better than those who didn't have surgery. In other words, in terms of being psychologically healthy, they were no healthier than people who felt that they were in the wrong gender but didn't have surgery to change it. And so at Hopkins, we stopped doing sex reassignment surgery since producing a satisfied but still troubled patient seemed an inadequate reason for surgically amputating normal organs. It now appears that our long-ago decision was a wise one. A 2011 study at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden produced the most illuminating results yet regarding the transgendered, evidence that should give advocates pause. The long-term study, up to 30 years, followed 324 people who had sex reassignment surgery. The study revealed that beginning about 10 years after having the surgery, the transgender began to experience increasing mental difficulties. Most shockingly, their suicide mortality rose 20-fold above the comparable non-transgender population. This disturbing result has as yet no explanation, but probably reflects the growing sense of isolation reported by the aging transgendered after surgery. The high suicide rate certainly challenges the surgery prescription. There are subgroups of the transgendered, and for none does reassignment seem apt. One group includes male prisoners like Private Bradley Manning, the convicted national security leaker who now wishes to be called Chelsea. Facing long sentences and the rigors of a men's prison, they have an obvious motive for wanting to change their sex and hence their prison. Given that they committed their crimes as males, they should be punished as such. After serving their time, they will be free to reconsider their gender. At the heart of the problem is confusion over the nature of the transgendered. Sex change is biologically impossible. People who undergo sex reassignment surgery do not change from men to women or vice versa. Rather, they become feminized men or masculinized women. Claiming that this is a civil rights matter and encouraging surgical intervention is in reality to collaborate with and promote a mental disorder. Now, here's what people are saying about him. This guy who wrote the article, and he has practically no idea what he is talking about. Chief psychiatrist at Johns Hopkins. Doesn't matter. Scroll up, Jason. What else do we have there? I saw one where this is all the same person. Where someone called it flaming. Wall Street Journal, this is very flaming of you to publish. For such a respected publication, this is very damaging and unwarranted. After years of reading and noticing a very harsh viewpoint from the writers you choose to publish, this broad and very anti-transgender article is something that I would never expected from you. Suicide rate for individuals with the trans community have been and always will be higher because of many factors in society. No, what they found is surgery versus those who identify as transgender who don't have the surgery. Our mental health is not just caused by gender dysphoria. If we do have other issues we have not dealt with, being transgender doesn't make you a feminized male or a masculine woman. Only thing it makes you is an individual like everyone else. Nothing. They have no facts. No facts to dispute here. Well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Dr. McHugh, former psychiatrist in chief at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Yeah, but what the hell would he know, huh? This is when I love where liberals, the rank hypocrisy. Oh, one of their high priests of science says something they don't like. Then he's a kook. It's 10:50.
Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.